Thank you, worship team, and we are almost completely complete. We have an Irish whistle. It just balance. It brings it all together, right? It's like Lord of the Rings. It just brings it all together. So thank you, Jesse, for that, and for the rest of you, as you make a joyful noise, because it is important that we make a joyful noise. Even in the chaos. And really, this is part two from last week, as we talked about, is it faith or foolish? And as you're turning in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 32, I'll remind you a little bit of what we talked about. You remember Jeremiah's in prison because he preached the word of the Lord. And from prison, he gets the message from the Lord that his cousin's going to come and going to sell him a field. Now, if you remember the situation in Israel, it's pretty bleak and grim. Babylon is right at the doorstep. In fact, the siege works are being built up. The walls are ready to be breached. And who wants a piece of property in a land that's about to be overrun? And God tells Jeremiah, you do. And as he follows the word of the Lord and his cousin shows up, he counts out the money, he makes a public spectacle of it, he gathers everyone in and he says, I want you to know this, that I am buying this property. He fills out two deeds to the property, he seals one up, keeps the other one open, sends it off to with Baruch to be kept and hidden. And in that, he declares that, yeah, the Lord is bringing judgment upon this place through Babylon, but you know what? There's a future for you all. Because the Lord has promised to reestablish and to plant his people back in here. And what you think is worthless now or worth very little is one day going to be of great value. And you understand that tension of living in a world where you look beyond and make actions happen in the here and now based not on what's happening on October 27th. 2024, but what's going to happen, what God has promised to bring about. Right? Is it faith or is it foolish? It depends on what you understand is the ultimate reality, and it is not the here and now, it is what God is doing. And what God is doing and where He is moving needs to be the basis of our life and of our actions. And so in the course of looking at Jeremiah chapter 32, we see this come out. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Or from God's perspective, is anything too hard for me? We can take what God has told us and we can invest everything in it and with the certainty that we will not be disappointed. Because God will see through on His promises. And so we come now to verse 36. After this transaction has taken place and after the deed has been sent forth in this great declaration, Jeremiah prayed for understanding. He came before the Lord and offered it up. And everything is all said and done now. In verse 36. Is a remarkable passage of Scripture that needs to be highlighted in your Bible with a permanent marker on, because it testifies to God's promise and to His authority that is for His people. And it comes packaged in such an untimely way, in such an untimely manner, even down to the very words which are recorded. Verse 36. Now, therefore, and unfortunate that a week has come before or in between what we looked at last time. You remember God said He's bringing judgment upon the people because of the abominations, the offering of their children in sacrifice, and the defilement that they have brought to the land. The Lord says, I will destroy this place as a testimony to my righteousness and judgment upon it. Now therefore, okay, He's promised judgment, and therefore is there to relate us back to what He just said. Very important. He says, I'm going to wipe you all out because you've defiled this place. Therefore, thus says the Lord, right? You're getting what you deserve. Understand that. That's not what he says. Therefore, in light of all the judgment that's going to come upon you, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the city which you say it is given into the hand of the king of Babylon by sword, by famine, and by pestilence. Behold, right? Watch out, look out, take careful observation. And you hear the unfolding of grace. From judgment is this, behold, I will gather them from all the countries to which I drove them in my anger and my wrath and in great indignation. I will bring them back to this place. I will make them dwell in safety. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for their own good and for the good of their children after them. I will make with them an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from doing good to them. I will put the fear of me in their hearts that they may not turn from me. I will rejoice in doing them good, and I will plant them in this land in faithfulness with all my heart and all my soul. For thus says the Lord, just as I have brought all this great disaster upon this people, so I will bring upon them all the good that I promised them. Fields shall be bought in this land of which you are saying, it is a desolation, without a man or beast. It is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Fields shall be bought for money, and deeds shall be signed and sealed and witnessed in the land of Benjamin, in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, in the cities of the hill country, in the cities of the Shephelah, and in the cities of the Negev. For I will restore their fortunes, declares the Lord. Now back to the question from last week, faith or foolish? Depends on the perspective you're looking through. What promises are you holding on to? Because it is a very loud declaration of faith on behalf of Jeremiah. I refuse to stay in the moment, but I plan to dwell in that which God has promised. And yes, I have to go through the chaos. And yes, I am held up before this world as one who is ignorant and foolish and has no idea what's going on. 12 times in this passage of Scripture, the Lord tells us what He is going to do. He will gather them. He'll bring them back. They'll dwell safely. They'll be my people. I'll be their God. I'm going to give them a new heart. I'm going to make an everlasting covenant. I will not turn away. I'm going to put the fear of me within their hearts. I will rejoice in doing them good. I'm going to plant them. I will bring upon them all the good that I have promised. I will restore their fortunes. This is before the heat of combat, he promises them. Right? He sent his people away. You've got Zedekiah the king, and his defiance is still shaking his fist at the Lord. He's under judgment, condemnation. Those who are with him will find the pestilence, will find the famine, will find the sword, as the Lord has told us through the earlier chapters of Jeremiah. This is promised. Chaos, calamity is coming. God has told them before. He says, I will be with you now, and I am working through the circumstances, and on the backside, I will be there for you. All of these come to make the foundation of faith. Do we have a God who is sovereign and is able? Does His I will mean anything? It becomes the foundation of our obedience. If God says we must and He will, then we need to follow in what He has called us to. That is the way of blessing and peace. It's a way to understand the good that He has promised. We walk in His ways, we find His blessing. It doesn't keep us from calamity. It doesn't keep us from chaos, but He sees us through that. And as we live in such a way, it becomes the foundation of our witness. Our faith, our obedience work together and develop our witness as we testify to the world around us that Jesus Christ is alive and He is Lord of all. And He is King of Kings, and He's coming soon, and you are going to have an appointment face to face with Him. It's a testimony of our life. And how do we get a testimony? Through obedience. And the basis of our obedience is our faith, faith in what God has declared and promised. And all of these work together to make our lives a giant speaker that declares the greatness of God as we live out His truth. Faithful in light of God's calling, foolish before a world that has no time for that. We need to understand that good, and I say true good, that which is virtuous and that which is lasting comes only by the grace of God. Oh, we look a lot of places to find that which is good for us. You want to know what's good for you? Walk in the way of truth. And don't depart from it. There's a lot of shiny things in this world that cause us to go and reach out and to grab and to pursue this over here. And it is a lie. The wages of sin is death, not pleasure, excitement, enjoyment, and good. Oh, how we are hard to learn that lesson, to believe that truth, to have faith in it, to follow through in obedience, and to let our pursuit of His truth be our witness. And what is sacrificed in the pursuit of this world is a declaration of the greatness of God. We are muzzled. We are silenced as we've given ourselves to something else. All of this highlights the absolute necessity of the work of God. Right? Their hope was not in what they could do. It's not at this point, you will, and you will, and you will. No, absolutely not. It's I will, I will, I will. Coming down to I'm going to give you a new heart, and in that new heart, then you will move forward. But you can't move forward till I give you that new heart. And at the end of it, you will move forward understanding that I'm the one that has worked, and it is characterized here by that reverential fear. There is that respect before God who is the one who has saved me out of the mire of this world and saved me out of the desolation and destruction that is promised because of sin and delivered me. Verse 39, I give them a new heart in one way that they may fear me forever. You see the time frame here? Right? The work of God and what He does in His people is well beyond the here and now. It is forever. For their own good and the good of their children after them. I will make with them an everlasting covenant. The word of God, the promises of God span well beyond the here and now. And the wise pay attention to it. And they give themselves to faithful obedience to what God calls them to. And the thing is, God delights in this. He delights in His work, and He delights in what is done and worked out in the lives of His people. Verse 41, I will rejoice in doing them good. And I will plant them in this land of faithfulness with all my heart and all my soul. You think about God rejoicing over doing them good. Like a parent to their child, want to bless them, want to see them avoid the pitfalls of life, want to see them to grow in that which will strengthen them. And you think about God. Oh, how He wants to give the best and the greatest, that which will cause you to realize and to understand that which He had in store for you that you could never have achieved on your own. But it's through the door of faithfulness and obedience and practical living out one's witness to those. But God is not angry and capricious and ready to snuff people out. Do you understand the heart of God and the passion for God for the growth and the well-being of His people coming through here? Right? You need to camp here for a while so that you understand God and His desire for His people. To what extent did He go? He sent Christ to die so that His people could be in relationship with Him. Now tell me the depth of that love and what He did to restore, the cost that He paid. God delights in His work, and He delights to see good and abundance. He delights to see fortune restored. Not as the world counts, right? This is God's economy. This is what He values. What does it demand? It demands faith, conviction, endurance, and above all, it demands the power of God at work. And that is the glorious new covenant that He has promised. Referenced here, the previous chapter of the book of Jeremiah. This was the earth-shaking part of Jeremiah's message that God is going to do something new. And it will be forever. Dependent upon His work, not the work of the individual. And it's that which ultimately brings to fruition that which God held in front of His people. Relationship, unbroken. Sin, judged and done away with. And blessing unfolding forever in front of His people. And so here you have Jeremiah, right? His faithfulness in earthly things declared the greatness of God and reinforced the message that God desired His people to know. That there is a future and there is a hope. And above all, people of faith need to demonstrate that by how they handle the things of this world. Knowing that God delights in every single expression that is put forward in faith. As we go to chapter 33, probably an unfortunate chapter division just because it continues on. In the Lord's testifying to the people there through Jeremiah. In verse 1, going through verse 9. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time. While he was still shut up in the court of the guard, thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed and established it, the Lord is His name. Call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of the city and the houses of the kings of Judah, that were torn down to make defense against the siege mounds and against the sword. They are coming in to fight against the Chaldeans and to fill them with the dead bodies of men whom I shall strike down in my anger and my wrath, for I have hidden my face from this city because of all their evil. Behold, I will bring to it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal them abundance of prosperity and security. I will restore the fortunes of Judah and the fortunes of Israel and rebuild them as they were at first. I will cleanse them from all the guilt of their sin against me. I will forgive all the guilt of their sin and rebellion against me. And this city shall be to me a name of joy and a praise and a glory before all the nations of the earth who shall hear of all the good that I do for them. They shall fear and tremble because of all the good and all the prosperity, I provide for it. Much akin to the last paragraph we looked at in chapter 32, chapter 33, verses 1 to 9, continues on with what the Lord will do, what He has obligated Himself to live out. For here we have seven times He says what He will do. He says, I will, right? He says, call to me, pray, right? In the midst of the calamity, wherever you are, call to me, and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. You need wisdom? Ask for it. That's what James says, right? That's open to us. As part of His work, as part of the Helper He's promised us in John 15 and 16, that He will send us a Helper, one to testify to us, to give us what we need to endure in the moment. He says, call to me, I will answer you, I'll tell you these great things that you didn't know before. Reminds us of Jeremiah's prayer in chapter 32. Right, he goes back and clearly establishes himself before the sovereign Creator God of all. The one who brought redemption out of Egypt, if you remember the prayer from chapter 32, who manifested His power, and it certainly overwhelmed any earthly authority. He brought true deliverance for His people in an unimaginable way. And here, God says, call me, and I'll answer you. What a precious promise and privilege we have as the people of God to enter into and before the throne of grace, as the book of Hebrews says. Right in here, you have the same contrast that anger is being poured out and judgment is here, but His people have promise in the midst of that. The evil ones, sin, will receive judgment and death. And understand this and get this, right? In the midst of all this, Jeremiah says, darkness, calamity, and chaos is coming. It's coming. Right? And there's theology out there that says if God was God, He wouldn't allow darkness to come. He wouldn't allow calamity to come. He wouldn't allow chaos to come into your life. You just don't have enough faith. That's not true. That's not true. God does not keep us from the chaos. He has never kept His people from the chaos. Oh, at times He might. At times He might. And we need to understand that because we have increasing chaos in this world. And God has called us to live faithfully here. And this is the point I want you to understand from this, that God does not keep His people from chaos. He does not, but He preserves them through it. And while we are going through it, we must be faithful. Just like back at the end of the last paragraph, we looked at the contrast, judgment's coming. Behold, this is what I'm going to do again here. Behold, I will bring health and healing. And I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of prosperity and security. After the chaos, after the darkness, after the siege is completed, after the destruction of the temple, after all of this that Babylon will do in judgment, I will bring health and healing. I will bring prosperity and security. I will restore the fortunes. I will rebuild them. I will cleanse them from all the guilt of their sin against me. I will forgive all the guilt of their sin and rebellion against me. God does not keep His people from darkness and chaos, but He preserves them through it. And how, this is the Sunday before Reformation Day, and we think about Luther standing there in the darkness of the spiritual world of his time, the church had lost its way. It had lost the supremacy of Christ. It came down to peddling pieces of paper for the forgiveness of sin. And Luther said, this has to stop. And so he makes his stand in the midst of the darkness. The light shines again on Christ. And it's not just Luther alone, but it's those who preceded him. It is Jan Hus burned at the stake. Because he testified to the same thing. And before him you have Wycliffe. Right? Under judgment, awaiting trial. They couldn't burn him because he died. But they dug him up and then they burned him. What was left? Threw him in the river. Right? That's the world. That's the darkness that seems, that tries to stamp out the light, but it will not work. And so we stand here that from the darkness comes forth the light by the promise of God. Post tenebras lux, after darkness, light. Because you can't get rid of God. He's not stepping down, right? He's not quitting. He is sovereign over all. And this becomes, if you will, not only the title of this sermon, Light After Darkness, but becomes the motto of the entire Reformation. Right? It's the light of the gospel. It's the grace of God. It's faith in what He's doing. Right, it's understanding that God has given us Scripture to reveal these things, His mercy, His grace, His justice, His righteousness, His redemption. The light of the gospel is focused in Christ and His work, His righteousness, His sacrifice, and His ongoing ministry. And all of this points to the glory of God, to His grace and His love. It is God and God alone that brings hope, brings power, brings wisdom. And He brings it, He promises it before the chaos, He supplies providence in it, and He will establish the result of His will and His glorious inheritance after it. And you think about where they end up, and we'll end with this. They shall fear and tremble because of all the good and all the prosperity I provide for it. We see this in part fishing in the New Testament, right? The disciples. So big is the catch. So humbling in a human sense. At the greatness of God's provision and His power and what He can do. That there is worship, there is fear, there is recognition of God and His greatness. Right? And that needs to be demonstrated in our lives. The very provision and blessing of God is worked out in their demeanor and in their expressions and how they live. And you need to understand, and this is where I'll draw it to a close. When the darkness and the chaos comes, and particularly against people of faith, the followers of Christ, because they want nothing more than to silence each one of us. Right? As we live through that chaos, as Jeremiah lives in prison because of his faithful testimony, he is not a victim. He's not a victim. He's walking by faith along that path of that leads to unbelievable prosperity, the presence of the God of God, that place where I am no longer under condemnation. But I am His and He is mine. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that's not a victim. That's the path of victory. And may the world see that in us. When they take away the things of this world from us, we're not victims. We're victorious. God is watching.
And he's waiting to pour out. Bring you back to Matthew chapter 19 at the end, right? In the regeneration, or as the ESV says, in the new world, he will pay back. Multiplied that which is given up for the sake of his kingdom here. And this message is going to become more and more important as the chaos ensues in a greater capacity and as the darkness presses in. But take heart, because he has overcome the world. And so what, we're called to joy, and we're called to peace, and we're called into prayer and to expectation. We are called to fear the Lord, and as we fear the Lord and walk in faithfulness, we will testify to the greatness of God. It is our privilege, and it is our responsibility. May God help us, as it's his work in us. May God strengthen us by his Spirit. And I hope you can see all of this wraps up in the new covenant. That which God said he would do, and that which he fulfilled in Christ. So much more to be said. Let's pray. Father, your calling and your work testify to your sovereign authority. Lord, we are grateful that in the midst of your justice, you have found grace and mercy for people, that you've provided for that which they did not have, and you see them through. Lord, we are not surprised by what we see. We live in a fallen world that rejects you, and by that they reject us. But Father, you told us it would be that way. And yet you tell us to invest wisely, because we can take the things of now and we can invest them for then, as we receive your words by faith, as we recognize your work and give ourselves to it and move forward and obedience. Lord, that we will show ourselves to be people of faith and not fools in the midst of fools that calls us fools. Lord, help us not to be dissuaded from that to which you have called us, but may we be found faithful, trusting in what you said you will do. And may you be glorified through it all. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.